Then one woman gave a testimony once. Somebody was telling me about it. Her testimony was, people have always said they give ₦100,000 as offering, and I've never been able to do it. I have always desired to be able to do it. Finally, God made it possible for me. Now, me to have given out an offering. I said, that's very good. That's better. Are you getting what I'm saying? Her mindset is different. But I want to bring around a third mindset. The first one of which, amen, praise God, I didn't have $100, now I have. Now, it's a better one to say, hey, I've now been able to give. There is a thought mindset which I think is very, very good also. We should learn to testify on such things. Brethren, you know I used to work in so and so place. Then they downsized, and for 5 months I didn't have a job. Do you know? All through, nobody knew I was not working. I was always rejoicing. What I couldn't understand, do you know one of my uncles that seems to know everybody in this life? He came. I did not even remember to tell him. Brethren, was last week I started working again. It dawned on me that it's been 5 months that I've been out of a job. I learned to live independent of my circumstances. I thank God for that. For 5 months of utter wilderness, Christ strengthened me, and he did not show on my face. And you know, I didn't go for any miracle meeting all those 5 months. If I slept, I gave God thanks because now I could sleep properly. Listen to me, there's a blessing in every affliction. There is. So there are jobs that God took away from you. He said, look, listen, oh boy, the way you have been working, you are going to die early from heart failure. You've been working 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. continuously for 5 years. You know why I had you sacked? So you can sleep. Just to try. See that thing they call sleep, that special invention called sleep. Try it for 2 months. Let's see. Because you have been working so hard that for months, let's say you are 32, people thought you are actually 48. One day they saw you with your wife, says, is that your daughter? You know? And you said that, why? Because so God said, hey, wait. Before they start asking whether that's your granddaughter, let me do something. What will I do? Sack him. Let me tell you something. Some of these I'm describing, they don't look like good except you attend to the word of God. It's only the word of God that will infuse you with that peace of God that will make you, the first 1 week, you will sleep and sleep and sleep. Say, you're not even worried. Say, about what? You don't have a job right now. I say, oh, that one. Then you fall asleep before you can explain. If you listen to me, if the word of God is not entering you, you know what you will do? Every day you will wake up, you start calculating. In under 4 months, rent will be due. That's 450,000. He said, what's that? He said, sorry. I was just thinking of the children's school fees plus the money we are owing here now. Then your wife will fall asleep. They're not in the night. She wake up and realize that you've been in the same post since. And you look, 2 hours has passed. You can't sleep. If you're not a believer, under such circumstances, you won't sleep. You will not sleep. What am I preaching today? I'm preaching to you the fact that the first thing that God wants to give is that peace of God. It's not money. It's not a car. It's not a better job. Listen, there are people that God ordained that you do a particular job that they will be paying you ₦1 million every month. Yet you have been working a job where you'll be earning only ₦12,000 every month for the last 3 years. And you say, why has it not moved me? I'll tell you the reason. He said, if he moves you now, you will love ₦1 million. So he first wants to love 12,000 or love no money at all. When you have begun to rejoice in the Lord, when that ₦12,000 begin to look to you like the work of God, you understand what I'm saying? That you're not attached to it. Just love the Lord. When God looks and says that if I take this 12,000 from this guy, he will rejoice in 200 naira. Let me tell you, God will prove you. Don't think he don't look at your heart, look at his heart. Okay, he's rejoicing now. No! One day he will make you want to make it, that he will bring up an offer of maybe 150,000. But it will come with a clause. that the thing that your life is really about, you have to forsake it. Let me give you an example. It's very, very funny, but the practical example. Let's assume that all your life, what's inside your soul is music. Are you getting my point? All you've ever wanted is music. Or let's leave music for a moment. Let's say preaching. Yeah, preaching. That's a good one too, preaching. Finally, God will say, oh boy, opportunities. 450,000 naira a month. Where? Saudi Arabia. So let me go and pray first, whether I'm a missionary. Before you even enter the prayer, God say, come on, you're not a missionary, my friend. You're a teacher of the word, this locality. You go look your 12K, look your papa, we need the money. Look the 450K. They come and say, boys, I like the 450K. But you know, in my church, I was just appointed last week as a Bible study leader, and that means I preach every Wednesday. I won't lose that opportunity for anybody. That's what I'm talking about. Or the music, I was just an example. He said, now we are going to put in a place where you must never sing in your life. If they hear you singing, they will throw you into the pit, what they call the lion's den. But the money go good, sha. Then you reject that. Now, that's how you put your life on in the path of God's righteousness. It's when you have done that, God said, finally, I will now make him have a job of 1 million naira a month, in which half of the job is preaching or singing. And this interesting part, by that time, the money won't even interest you anymore. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's what God is doing. If money is still interesting you, you go, God, you know he doesn't grow old. Now you the age. You will be there for a long time. Very long time. Very long time. So I said, that's the first thing I'm preaching, that God wants to give you, first of all, what? The peace of God. The next thing I want to preach, which is actually the main thing I had in mind before the Holy Spirit led me the way he did now. And I think I'm back to that thing I came up with, which is why we read Hebrews chapter 3. Why did Hebrews chapter 3 come up? First, let me tell you the thing that I want to preach, and I'll now tell the story. Troubles will come. That's my message for today. What did I say? Now listen to me, let me say it in such a manner that you will get scared. Disappointments will come. Harassments will come. Persecutions will come. And nine parts, because of the word. That's what the Bible says. Listen, God works miracles. Did I hear an amen? Amen. But it doesn't always work them. God answers prayers, amen? Amen?
Amen?
But it does not always answer. Pastor Banky, yes, I will give you now. Moses begged. At the time, he said, Moses, if I see you again, will I die? I will slap you. Okay, let me say it in a godly fashion. He said, Moses, do not bring that matter up before me again. And was he a bad thing? No. Moses just wanted to enter the promised land. And God said, no. So one day here and God were talking. He said, so what's going to happen is that you tell them to divide here like this. So Moses was not paying attention. So the Lord said, Moses, wait in the help. He said, God, I beg now. About what? Let me go and mark the land myself and show to them. So that means you will enter. I'll say that. Oh boy, forget that side. You ain't going anywhere. Listen, let me tell you something. Christianity, we must learn how to balance things. Are you getting my point? Yes, we must learn how to balance things. It is a matter of fact that you can have requests, God will tell you square in your face, forget it, I'm not giving you. Forget it, that one you won't see it. Especially, you know, I preached this one before. When I said that if you ask according to his will, how do you know the will of God? Yes, I have found out how to know the will of God. Especially when it comes to requests. Sit down and pray until you know the real motive why you're asking for what you're asking for. If it is because he's saying, no, you know, I'm a preacher, if I have this kind of house, they will know that the gospel works. God say, hey, that's the motive. All right, forget to. Let them come and see that it does not work. And let them arrest me if they want to arrest me. Did I ever tell you the gospel is the gospel of building houses? Are you an architect? Now, please, do you follow my point? If you come and say, Lord, really, really, the house I'm staying in is a bit too small. I want a bigger one. That's a diff- that, look, that's a very legitimate, you know, I preached a few Tuesdays ago on how to ask correctly or something like that. Yes. It's a very legitimate prayer point. But we're going to start making, because what happens if you are really sincere, God will take you to a point and say, look, is that your request? It's based on jealousy. You think you are finer than Angela and your husband is taller than her husband. So you should have a better house and a better car. So all this prayer I've been praying is just because you want to outshine Angela in your church. So pray all you want, I'm not answering. That's what James said. Listen, if we can remove all these other motivations for our prayer points in our lives, we will discover the true will of God arising out of our soul spontaneously. If really these stupid motivations, we can remove them, we'll discover the true thing that we really want. And God always, always gives those things. But let me get back to what I'm saying. So there are disappointments. When we're preaching faith, like anything you don't ask God for, there are things that God will look at and say, oh boy, it's not good for you. Yes, sir. I love that car. I'm about to say, God said, can you buy the brain box? The brain box of the motor you are harassing me for is 85,000 naira. What's wrong with you? And the way you drive, it will burn after 2 weeks. It's okay, wait. I will lend you one. Let Okada break the light in your presence. And I thought it's okay, right? You have to buy. Okay, no, now you could drive the Okada. You break somebody's light of that very car. You now go and say, okay, how much is the light? So, okay, this is a special LED type. And it's 150,000, sir. Just 150,000. You go look your Okada and look the light. So, okay, look, moto na moto. Take my Okada and dash it. I'm not taking. You give me my 150K. Well, listen, I'm breaking an issue. This is what I'm saying. Listen to me. Christianity is not a magic wand. We just wave magic wand, prosperity just drop. Go sha. It doesn't look. Listen, I know I'm going to tell you the truth. You know why I can tell you the truth? I didn't come here to gather you so I can drill you for your money. So, yes, it's true. The real people who can't tell the truth is because when you finish preaching like this, you won't give the offering you wanted to give before. Say, hey, you're sure you can't multiply it? Let me go to where they will multiply it now. I'll tell you the truth. It is not a very nice truth. But even though God wants to make you a trillionaire, He can make you earn so small that every meal is with proper thanksgiving. You know, there's thanksgiving that's normal. Father, we just thank you for this food. But there's one in which, God, that was close. I almost left without this food. Thank you. You know, that kind of thanksgiving. That is even God will say, I hear, eat. I hear. And I'll tell you the reasons. We'll get there in a moment. Why He does those things. But because you can go and see Deuteronomy chapter 8. God said, I made you hungry. Not the devil. I made you hungry. When you were very hungry, then I fed you with manna. That's what I'm preaching today. In Christianity, there will be disappointments. One of my chiefs those days, I knew it was good for him. This guy was so good, you know. Very good in my profession, my specialty. Very, very good. Good guy like this. When he was going for an exam, his finals, he was so sure he would pass. He was damn too sure he would pass. But not the kind of assuredness that you get from faith, but from I know I can do it. He failed so badly he didn't recognize himself. One of my colleagues and I looked and said, I think it's very good for our chief. He said, it's very good for him. Very good for him. The next exam, when he went to the exam again, The other colleague of mine, a lady, asked, "Oh, God, how's reading going?" She said, "I'm not reading again, Joe." She said, "Why not?" She said, "You know, the last one, I read everything there is to read. What happened?" I feel so, there's no point reading. Let me just pray and just go and do the exam. I'm telling you, this man, he went with humility. And of course, he was good. The Lord had given you the wisdom. What am I saying? Moses said, God speaking to him, "I made you hungry, then I fed you with manna." Why? So that I will know what's in your heart. So that I can test and prove you. So that you will come to understand that man does not get success by his ability to answer questions alone, but by every word, every mercy, every grace that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how men succeed. He said, "Until you get that point, I won't let you pass." Let me say something to you. Let me so I can close. One, somebody told you that if you give your life to Christ, all your troubles are over. It's a lie. A set of troubles are over. A new set has begun. The one that the devil was giving you has ended. The one that God gives people, you have inherited it. Many people give their lives to Christ, they become broke. Novel Hayes answered the call of God for his life. His wife packed a bag and walked out. They never quarreled before that day. And she never came back. If you didn't want to hear this, you shouldn't have come here. Say you have come. You go hear them. Now listen to what I'm saying. I will talk about why later. If you have been here talking about Joe, you will have learned some of it, all right? But this is what I want to get first, number one. That day happened. There was one guy, he gave his life to Christ about the same time as Chris Okoti. I think he's his friend. One day I read in the newspaper, now I don't know whether the reporter quoted him correctly or he lied about what he said. But he said that Jesus ruined my life. I said, "You should know that he does that often." He ruins people's lives. If your name is Moses and you are living in the palace of iniquity, he will ruin your life. Yes, I know. Jesus, he is an expert at that one. He knows. Now, listen. Moses was living well until he answered the call. That was the end of it. He became a shepherd. That's what I'm talking about. He said, "Jesus, not let me practice law." It's usual. Come, you were a fisher of fish. Now you'll be a fisher of men. He can do that. And he does it often. What am I explaining? Christianity often brings troubles. In fact, Jesus said straight, "In this world you will have tribulations. But what is the end of the message?" He said, "But be of good what? Cheer, because this is my message, the main message." The first thing that faith does for you is that it gives you rest even in the midst of the tribulations. And God forbids you to complain and grumble. If you have troubles, God forbids that you should grumble and complain in the midst of those troubles. He said, "When they do, I am displeased and I swear in my wrath, they shall never enter into my rest." Listen to this. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, some were suffering. Not all of them were slaves. Not all of them were slaves. Some used to go to the palace regularly. Yeah. Even the slaves, according to their own testimony, they had cucumbers to eat, garlic, onions. And that's to tell you that we eat normal food. We just add those ones on top of it. Now, listen to what I want to say. When God began to liberate them, the first place they entered after they crossed the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism, the first thing they experienced was utter dryness. No water. Now, I told that Jesus ruins lives. Alright? He just ruined their lives. He just ruined their lives. Then what did he do? They called Moses and said, come here, come here. Did he not say what's the difference we're dealing with? What do you call this? The Bible says they gathered stones and they wanted to stone Moses. Why? You understand their mindset. When Egypt, we said we were slaves. You said you came to give us deliverance. The little we had, even as slaves, you took it. You are getting, you understand the problem? And let me preach to you again. This is what faith is. This is what Christianity often brings to you. You thought that from now, you've heard the messages, you suddenly leap up to a high level. The first thing God does is to take you further down, lower than where you were before. And then you get confused. That's my message to you today. I said the number of words we should hold in those, the one we're reading in Hebrews chapter 3, is the word hope. Let me explain. Were they going for a promised land? Yes, they were. Did that land really flow with milk and honey? Yes. The land was flowing indeed with milk and with honey. But before they would get into that land, they will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen to me. Before you increase in life, you will see the valley of the shadow of death. What am I preaching? The faith rest. How a Christian would be at rest, knowing that no matter what I am going through, indeed, I am on my way to the promised land. This is the interesting part. If you handle the valley of the shadow of death wrongly, if you handle the wilderness wrongly, you die there. And your life becomes a testimony of why we should not follow God. He was doing well. He was doing well. Until he said he gave his life to Christ. After that, now down, 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 down. Then one day, he just died. Hey! Let me tell you, it's such a bad situation that Moses had to beg God at the time. God said, let me do what I normally do under these circumstances. Moses said, please excuse me, this is embarrassment. You know Egyptians. It's me they was not insulting now that Moses came here. You know, it's me they know, they don't know you. You know what I'm saying? You can say, God, did they see God? It was Moses they saw. Then Moses came here, said he was taking them out in deliverance. He now went and killed all of them. He lost his way. You know, stories will start changing. You say, what happened was that it was thirst that killed them, hunger. We said they should be here digging as slaves. Yet, they decided they are going to the wilderness. What happened? I didn't know all they are dead. Listen. Don't think that God was just doing them up. Say, I will kill you, I will kill you. And then you're not relaxed. Not lie. No be them up. He was really going to kill somebody. Moses had to beg. Say, please, please. Now beg. I beg. Please. Because what God will have done normally is, he's taking you out of Egypt into the promised land, into a land that flows with milk and with honey. You will have, listen to me, bad experiences on the way. There will be disappointments. There will be things you believe God for, and they just won't show up. He said, if you stand, the fire will not burn you. The fire will have raised your knee before us. The angel said, sorry, you go boil the water. He said, where were you? Are you not the same angel they sent to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where have you been all this while? You know, I don't injure now, you can't appear. He said, sorry, it was the prince of Persia. This is how one is. Now, this is what God said you must never do. You must never whine. You must never complain. As soon as I come out of the fire, I said, Lord, I thank you. Now, why? That was painful. But we thank you. It was only the knee it reached. At least the rest of the body is still there. We worship you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it's very good. This one will get to the promised land. Yeah, look, listen, Christianity is interesting. It's interesting. But this is the point. Listen, let me end my message. We'll continue this next time, all right? My time is gone. This is the point. We have a hope. What did I say? We have a hope. God said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future, I like King James here, and an expected end. My Bible said a future and a hope. I'm preaching on how we handle the transitory period between when we leave Egypt and we enter into the promised land. That's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching how our minds will be at peace and at rest even though we have troubles. Sorry, I have to go to this side again. Just to illustrate, alright? You heard me, alright? And you've seen it also around. We have a problem in ministry today. God is helping us, amen? And this problem of money, do you know what I'm saying? Money. That is when I say money now. Either we don't have enough, or we want more than the one that we have. It's one of the two. There's legitimate we don't have. There's illegitimate we don't have. You know what I mean? They give you 1 million, you want two. They give you two, you want three. They give you five. They say, why not just give us 20? You know that kind of thing, all right? Uh-huh. But this is the interesting part. This is what I'm going to. I've talked to preachers. And indeed, now I want to use as an illustration. Why men backslide. Backslide from the... When I say backslider, they don't deny Christ Jesus entirely, but they deny the things that they know to be true. It's usually because of pressure. And I'll teach some practical tips as we go on. And one of those practical tips is that a point must come in your life where you don't care. You hear what I said? Where you don't care. Listen, let me just tell you the kind of person that God has made me to be. Way of Success, sorry, now it's Truth and Truth on radio. It blesses people, all right? Way of Success was blessing people a lot. Our program on TV, I know it blesses people. There are people who are looking forward to it every day. If we owe money 2 months consecutively and we can't pay, believe me, I shut them down. So by the multitude that are not here, that's their problem. Did they send me petition before I went on air? No. If we can't continue, what do we do? We just simply announce, brethren, for reasons beyond our control, this broadcast shall be discontinued end of this month. And meanwhile, please take this address down. www.kwm.com.ng. Now it doesn't cost much money. We'll endeavor to always keep materials there. God bless you. We'll see you if the Lord pleases another time. I shut down. But God forbid that we hold this microphone. I said, the Lord said I should take that 55 people out there with a $5,000 offering that's about to break the back of their poverty. Right now, you will. No, I am not going to do it. God wants me to do it. He should show up and come and stand beside me. Say, I go talk small, you go talk. They put the microphone. I'm telling you. You get some kindness here. Yeah. I'm coming to something. It's not always that simple. There are times in which you can't, even if you wanted to shut down, like if you're in America, you have entered a contract. Yes, there are times. So this is the point I'm making. That's what I'm talking about, wilderness. There are times you sit down there. So I've talked to preachers. Some of them will tell you, they say, Pastor Banky, my God, sometimes there's temptation. Chibime is radio and television. She? What if it is a church? You know what they call church? Hey, this one, if you don't come here, what are you going to do? Hey, you just come here. Meet the door, don't close. You go to your church on Sunday. No, so. But let's assume that I have now gathered everybody. We are 1,000. And we are meeting in a place where they say that it will never be. Although, this is banking for you, Sha. This is banking for you. Lock the door. I will also announce, please, brethren, services are suspended until further notice. This is not that campus where I be. There are times in which people say you must not love your life unto death. There are times you just look, say it's the work of God. If you can't sustain, that's his problem. Just leave it there. You do the things that are real and that are necessary. But I'm saying that what happens a lot of times, say that's a point of pressure for a number of my friends, pastors have said it. That boy, there are times you just have to deliberately resist the temptation. Now, people fall for those pressures. All right? I'm just as an example. Some of my friends have told me that, listen, Banky, that sometimes this is as if the temptation is strong. To start wanting to, or I put pressure on people. And you see, for them, and you, if you listen to them, not for, you agree with them, for legitimate reasons. I mean, I'm not trying to steal. Now, guys, you know what we are doing with this. But I'll get to the practical things of some of these things later. All right? I'll get to practical things. But those are the very times that the Bible says your soul must not draw back. Those are the times that men actually step into their permanent rest. Those are the times that you actually get ready. That God will say, now you are ready for the promised land. My pastor in Lagos then said that, look, the day he entered into rest was when he made up his mind under such a condition that, God, I will never beg anybody for money. Since that time till now, all he has been doing is spending more and spending more, and people have been falling over themselves to give money towards the work of the ministry. What am I saying? Though we have pressures, and you get my point, don't forget, this is Christianity. It is not about the lack of money. It is about our minds, our spirits. How do we respond? Actually, God is testing something. You hear what I said? Let me read this one. I close with it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. What have I said today? There will be testing periods. And what I'm preaching is how to be the same no matter what the circumstance of your life is. I am not going to preach to you that don't worry. Just declare it and it just be like that. There are times you declare it and the angel is having transportation problems. 21 days. What I'm preaching to you is that what do you do in those 21 days? That's what I'm preaching. There are times you are so sure that you are so close to the Lord. He used to come here to eat. I know the Lord behaves funny. He knows how to ruin people's lives. You know, I told you that before. Then when he hears that you are sick, that is the day he decides to go and attend the World Cup. They say, what happened? They say, Lazarus is sick. Say, let's finish watching the South Korea versus somebody match. Uh-huh. He said, let's see who qualify in Group F. Okay, tell them we are coming. The match is still going on. The Bible said when he heard he was sick, he now decided to stay there 2 extra days. If he had not been sick, probably would have gone on time. When he happened that Lazarus is sick. He said, let's first round finish. Then we'll go. It's easy now because we are in the story of Jesus Christ. Imagine that you are Mary, Martha, and the sick Bobo Lazarus. No, it's very easy now because we are reading from the side of Jesus. Who knew what would happen? You know, you know, they never told you the story of what was going on in those 4 days when the temperature was rising. Before it began to come down and kept going down, down, down. It became so cold, they buried the man. The only indication we have of what happened was the moment he arrived, they said, Abba, if only you, and that's why it's more painful. If you knew if he had come, he would still have died. It's not very painful. If only you had been around, Lazarus would not have died. That's what I'm preaching. What do you do when you have sent a message to the Jesus as your friend and you now hear that he's watching the match, that when they finish, he'll start coming? As a matter of fact, all right, it will happen in life. You will send for the Lord, and he will delay 2 extra days. And in that process, Lazarus will die. The question is, how do you handle the situation? I won't lie to you that it will never happen. No, I will not lie to you that it will never happen. Because one day in your life, it will happen. Yes, it will. I don't know how it's going to happen. It happens different ways to different people. And what I started preaching is to let you know that God allows those things to happen so that you will not have to suffer like Job. You know, we discussed that if you have been around on our Tuesday meetings. So that you won't have to suffer like Job. Because if you don't respond properly, you will suffer like Job. But if you respond properly, God will say he has put his feet on the path of Job. Therefore, release him. Let him step into the double breakthrough. Let him step into double abundance. But that's only if you handle the time of the wilderness properly. The children of Israel did not have to spend 40 days in the wilderness. I'll read the scripture next time. But I wanted to read because my time is gone. They did not have to spend 40 years, in the wilderness. They were supposed to still pass through the wilderness. It would have lasted just a few days. But the first trial they had, what did they do? They turned to Moses. We're enjoying better where we're coming from. And God said, they grieved him. And I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Let me stop here. Next time I'll continue talking about that, on why he does it. Like I was going to read just now, he said that I need to purify your heart. I've said that again and again. How long did it take? I don't know. But one thing we must all learn is how to respond while God is taking time. That's what I'm talking about, the faith rest of the believer. There's this kind of rest of mind that you must have in Christ Jesus. That everybody seems to be making progress, but not you. You will still rejoice with them. Because it's a commandment, rejoice with them that rejoice. But don't ever forget this. It is because we know there is a hope. What did I say? There is a hope. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you notice the word, though I pass through? Not though I build a tabernacle in the valley of the shadow of death. Not though I lay my foundation there and build a skyscraper in the valley of the shadow of death. No. I am passing through. Anything you are passing through means there is an end to it. There is an end to it. There is an end to it. You will come out on the other end. But what I want to introduce to you is that you will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And whether you come out or not is dependent upon how you handle what is going on in the center of the valley of the shadow of death. Don't forget, if you don't have this message, go and get a copy and listen to it. The Spirit of Thanksgiving. When I talked about Jonah. For those of you who do not know, Jonah did not pray that his prayer in the belly of the fish. He prayed the prayer when he was sinking, when he was about to drown. And then God now liberated him stage one. Stage one, God liberated him into the belly of the fish. And he learned to give thanks. If he did not give thanks, the whale would have digested the guy. Next time the whale will just belch. Ah, it's the skull of a human being that will drop. That's Jonah's skull. But Jonah handled it properly. Then God commanded the fish. And they went to the shore. And they had indigestion. And then threw the total whole man onto the shore. That was because he handled it properly. Many people have been digested. I've been saying this thing, no. I hope you are not being digested. We know if you are a grumbler, you have been digested. But your skin will regenerate in Jesus' name. When you come to God with repentance. I hope you learned something today. Have you learned anything today? If that's the case, let's just bring back our heads and begin to give them.